The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Welcome to the inner city, inner city, inner city.
Good evening, Bahamas, and it's a wonderful Friday evening. I'm your host, Valentino Brown, a.k.a. Scrooge, Scoochie, Daddy, or it's called me Governor or MP now. I get so many nicknames, and it's a pleasure, again, to be your host on Guardian Radio 96.9. Inside the City is a show that comes on Friday every 6:30 to 8 p.m. We talk about problems the country face. We talk about solution. We bring community-minded spirit persons who are doing excellent community work that are very beneficial to the population of the Bahamas. And on this show, we find real-life stories to talk about, real-life experiences, you know, on our version. Because, like I said, when Guardian Radio gave me the show, they said they wanted to find out about the inner city. And we were able to bring that on this platform. And I hope that everyone who has listened to the show enjoys the show. And it's very beneficial and making a lot of changes for many persons who don't understand the situation surrounding the inner city and what many residents are going through. They surely have been very informative listening to the show, especially all the stories and the programs and the community leaders who have been coming on the show for many, many years now on Guardian Radio, because everyone who are we invited on the show is a person who has been contributing greatly to the success of the general public. Our telephone lines tonight on Guardian Radio are 323-62-32-325-4316-325-4259 and powered by BTC at 422-GR96. Our producing studios is Mr. Kermit, who just does a fantastic job as one of our greatest asset. And we want to say thanks to him and to the whole entire Guardian Radio staff, and also to you who take just the time out to listen to Guardian Radio, and for those who listen to the Inside the City. I listen to many persons as I travel through the country, and many persons would always tell me, say, wow, your show is really real life. We don't call in because you speak about things that is actually happening to us as a country. So there's no reason for me to call in to the show, because you is doing such a fantastic job of being our spokespersons. And I'm really thankful and very, very happy to know that I'm making some waves that can make change in the country. Okay, tonight topic, we're going to talk a little about mental health, and we're going to talk about stress and how it affects us on the Bahamian people. Okay, what is stress? Kermit, would it be possible if we could play that first clip, what the minister... Well, just a second, but Kermit is great at it. So I hope we get the right one. We're going to see right now. What is stress?
Just recently, three were escorted or invited up into the higher judiciary, including one deputy director, one highly valued deputy director of public prosecutions. I commend them all on their preferment. But in addition to that, there have been losses to the magistracy. There have been losses of particularly female, but not only female prosecutors who become burned out. Some persons become terrorized. Some persons are threatened physically and verbally in and out of courts. And yes, and particularly, and stress has seriously affected a number of them. I have one very distinguished prosecutor, so stressed out that she developed very severe illnesses and had to have surgery on her number, and we've lost her services for more than a year.
Wow. Now imagine that is stress. You're employed by government, you're working in the court system, okay? You're getting verbal abuse outside court, inside court. So what are you saying is you're getting it from the defendants, right? And then when you go with your colleagues, you're getting it from them, okay? So you're getting it from all around, and it leads to mental breakdown. And these are professionals, the Honorable Minister is mentioning, okay? And that is stress for you. But what I really want the general public to understand that our country right now is the most stressful country, one of the most stressful country in the world right now. And I think our leaders understand right now that even though we have a COVID-19 protocol in place, I am telling you, there are thousands and thousands of Bahamians going through stress that many wants to commit suicide. Many wants to hurt people. Many of them are violent. Stress has caused marriages, a broken up boyfriend and girlfriend separation, where people don't even like one another no more. They were husband and wife, and they don't speak to one another no more. And where does this all start? Where do you think all of this start? I think for many, many years in the country now, I really feel that there's a buildup of hardship, abandonment, stab in the back, betrayed from the ones you love the most and those who you look up to. And then when this happens to you, you know, you forget about God. There's not many persons could talk to you to tell you, you know, you probably, even if someone was talking to you and trying to give you some advice, that person has to be someone who's very special to you. Otherwise, they could be speaking to you and you wouldn't even hear them speaking to you. That's because your mind, your heart, and your soul is being crushed, and there's nothing no one can say to you that can make a difference. Sometimes not even your mother or your brother. But sometimes it takes a special person. And right now in our country, there ain't that many special persons. Out of all the diseases in the world, whether it's COVID-19, HIV, AIDS, cancer, diabetes, and et cetera, you know what's the number one killer? Stress, people. Stress is the number one killer in this country. And if we're hearing that statement made by the minister concerning health officials who have mentally breakdown and stress has caused them to even have to go on operation, some has even left their job. Could you imagine the effects it's having on the very poor in the country? You think about it. You know, we're seeing these reactions from school kids, H.O. Nash, C.C. Sweden, Doris Johnson, D.W. Davis, C.R. Walker, basically all of the public schools. You look on Facebook, right? You see where two young girls, probably 14, 15, they are in the school premises outside the school premises, probably waiting to catch a bus. The teachers are around, standing around. You might have security officers standing around. And you would have a 14 and 15-year-old who, for some strange reason, got in an argument at school. These are not grown-ups. These are just kids. Can't even say they're teenagers yet. And they start the row. They say insulting things about one another. They talk about, excuse my language, they talk about it. They're underneath, young girls, and they would even go as far to say who the young girl has been sleeping with. And then the next one, point the finger at the next one, and then when something was said, so insulting, that it reached a point where they go at it. And they go at it, and then we have a group of other students who are cheering on, and they're laughing, and they're taking photos, you know, and then you'd see where the young girl, one of the young girls, fall on the ground. And when they fall on the ground, you'd see, you know, they're not wearing, they don't wear girls no more in school. They don't wear girls no more. Girls are a thing of the past. Some of the girls are wearing boxers. Some just wear their underwear and just go to school, you know. And their legs are spread open because, you know, they're fighting. And the other kids are taking the camera and they're putting it right there. And they're showing it to the world and they're laughing, right? And then we have the teachers come to try and stop it. And the teachers are pushed aside. And the teachers them have to run and stand on the side. So the security officers come. And they're trying to separate the two little girls. And that is even working. So the police reaches. But not just the police. We have an inspector who is a khaki. And he arrives with two other police who are constables. And he tries to intervene. And he grabs one of the young girls. The next one, why is the police has this one in his grasp? She is breaking loose and trying to get at the girl again. And sometimes you watch Facebook, they'd get at the girl. And even though the inspector and the police are standing there, the police inspector and two police and the school teachers and the security guard still can't stop two girls. 14, 15. Okay? Now, here's the thing. After they are taken to the guidance council or the principal's office, okay? They probably get suspended. So ask yourself, and this is not one incident. This is thousands of incidents that goes on in our public schools. Not with just these two young girls. Many young girls. And all of them have something in common. The majority of them have something in common. They all have this attitude. Then if we look at the young boys, we'd see where in the last 15, 20 years, we had stabbings before 15, 20 years. We might have had a death. But then we recently have a surge in young adolescents who are committing murder against a fellow student. And mind you, what is so dangerous? This is what is so dangerous. We normally hear the Royal Bahamas Police Force always talk about repeated offenders. Okay, that means guys who stay in and out police custody and in and out prison. Okay, so we call them, what the police call them, okay, repeated offenders. But these young girls and young boys at the age of 14, 15, probably oldest is 17, they're not repeated offenders. But if you watch how they are hurting one another and killing one another, you could swear that they are at least 28, 29, or 30. What drives them? Anger, stress, okay? And I'm only speaking generally because I want you to analyze what I'm saying. We are in serious trouble in this country. You know, we're hearing it from the minister talk about professionals who are getting it from all ends. They're getting it from the defendants, Ron Court, saying things to them, threatening, you know, to them as they walk the court. And they're getting verbal abuse probably at their workplace in their law firm or in the government institute. And if you look at our kids with a broken home, right, they have no one to turn to, okay? And if we leave them in the position they are now, then there's no way possible that we're going to see the possibilities of the next generation of young persons in the country. Because we kind of forget things when it happened. But from time to time, it happens again. And then it leaves a stain on the hearts of many family members who lose their loved ones. And then we get a reminder 1 or 2 years later about the same incident again. When I look at it, and I say, wow, our leaders are not really serious about fixing this country. They're not. If they are serious on fixing this country, and let me say this again, this particular administration, the Minister administration, right, has all the tools and mechanism and programs that they could have made it work. Government has all the programs and they have the personnel. But the problem is that we never execute. Just like how we get many laws on the book and our law enforcement officers don't apply it. We have a lot of laws passed in Parliament, yet still we don't apply them. And because we're not applying them, and then when different administration comes in, and there's a program that is beneficial and that and can be the program that can make a change, okay, it gets stopped, reviewed, and canceled. And then they would put a new board of people to come with a different name of the program. But these persons who hire for these program are politically promoted. So they're only doing it for money, and they're doing it for spite, because the previous administration had the program. And now that they have the program, they want to make sure that none of these names in the previous program that could have been very beneficial to the development of the country and kept the country in a position where we could say, hey, we have programs in school, not us dealing with anger management. And this is nonstop, you know? And this right there is our biggest mistake we are facing today, you know? And we can never get it right. And we put everyone at risk. And then when I had a Minister of National Security, you know, I highly respect all persons with authority. I don't want to think no one out there who listen to me says I don't respect the Prime Minister, I don't respect the opposition leader, I don't respect the Commissioner of Police, etc. I do. I do. But from a point of view where I know that persons can do better at their position they hold, which is a very powerful position to make change, then I judge you by that. So when I had the Honorable Minister of National Security, Honorable Marvin Dames, and he stated, you know, a few weeks ago about crime statistics, and then he talked about murder, and then he said, you know, there's no reason to be afraid. You know, we have heard that so often, time and time again. There's nothing to be afraid of. When we got persons running wild on the streets of Nassau, New Providence, taking lives in the country where you can't come from work and drive your car in the driveway. There's someone that ambush you. Can't sleep at night because people targeting you because they feel that you have something they want. You're a little successful, you did something great in your life. So people watch that and they target you. And you could lose your life. You know, if you look at the latest murders, you see persons coming home, parking their car, and that's it. That's it. And to me, one murder is too much. And when we have murders where the police can't really figure out who's doing the murders, it makes one to think. The other day, they found a young gentleman in the road, in his car, around 3 o'clock in the morning. I like to know what the hell he was doing out when there's a curfew. You see, you cost yourself, you know. The emergency order might, you know, it might take away your freedom. And I think freedom is the most important thing. But sometimes it happened for a reason. Probably if he was home and listened to the emergency order, he wouldn't get shot around 3 o'clock in the morning. So sometimes, even though you feel disgruntled about certain situation, still apply it to you because someone's guiding you. Someone could be protecting you. You know, for me, when I talk about the prime minister, if I ever bone to pick, I just disgruntled about the fact about the great program done on the two previous administration, the Progressive Liberal Party in 2012, 2013, the Urban Design Lab, which I was a part of. And then 2016, 2017, the Free National Movement, Over the Hill Initiative, which I think was a study designed on how we could deal with the poverty issue, how can we empower persons in the community, to empower themselves, give them the tools. How are we going to develop the community so it could be a sustainable community where we could have a vibrant and prosperous community? How we could tap in the coolest part from Old Bay Street so that we can develop the inner city communities. So Lewis Street, Mason Addition, that side of West Bay Street, which is what we call West Street, what we call Danton. Develop it so we could have the tourists walking from the beautiful parts where the cruise ship resides and make a beautiful entry point, Gregory's Arch, into Grandstand, so we can have a tourism market, because we have not touched the scope of the tourism market. And it covers so many things with housing. Because we talked about it. It talked about local government and et cetera. It talked about preventative measures on giving people a second chance. So the program itself, it's a great program. I felt that if it was really in the heart of the Honorable Prime Minister, knowing that so many thousands and thousands of Bahamian are emotionally stressed out, that he knew that we just came out of a previous administration that did some good, but did some bad things that many Bahamians themselves did not appreciate. And it was a hard times for Bahamians then. And now we come with a government who inherit, you know, in its second, third year, disasters after disaster. We can understand that. But we have been having disasters with many different government. Okay? Many persons have lost their homes, their jobs. And like I said, many people have lost their wife and their husband, lost their girlfriend, and lost their boyfriend because of the economic times. And basically, that's the deal with finance. Okay? So, like I said, I was very disappointed because that program is a program that can really change the country. The person there, like Ms. Rowell, who was then the director at the Office of the Prime Minister, Brent Lashley, Samita Rowell, two Rowells, Carmi, what is his name? Carmi Jones, yes. Yeah, they were really into coming up with a plan, and they came up with a plan. Then for me, it hurt me because, you know, I work so hard and free. You know, those persons who the government of the Bahamas at the time was the Progressive Liberal Party, and the Prime Minister was the Honorable Perry Gladstone Christie, and they sent a team from Austria, okay, to come down to the Bahamas to do an urban design plan for the country. And they, like they said, they wanted to find out how they could help improve the lives of the poor people because of the criminal elements happening in our country. And we worked closely together. I was put in contact with them because they needed a person who frequent the community, know the community residents, and also to make sure that the students from Vienna, Austria, who were students, but they were also hired by the Bahamas government as a project to see how they can develop a plan to change the lives of persons who are underprivileged in the country and to raise up their, what you say, to raise their, and they did a wonderful job of collaborating with community residents. They understood how it could be very beneficial with building homes, developing the community, and et cetera. And they were paid handsomely by the government. Me, who was just a young man looking and defying any way possible that I could get a upper hand, asked to say, let me work with these people and this organization and see how I could help my Bahamian people who needs work, who needs a better life, who needs a better community. You know, a community that has structure, our community center, the church is functional, we have small businesses in the community, and we're working with one another. And that was accomplished. And to me, I was very disappointed because this plan is going on 9, 10 years now. 9 years. Yes, 9 years. So I just wanted to share that. And yeah, the student from Austria, students from University of Bahamas, Dugalingan Studio, Yuri Vogas, Amanda Culson, so many, Salem Union Baptist Church, which hosted the display with the students from University of Bahamas and the students from Austria, along with Office of the Prime Minister. And in that display, when it was showcased at Salem Union Baptist Church, they showed the designs for the low-cost homes that could be created in the inner-city community and around the Bahamas that would be designed because they got information from myself and many residents who said that a one-bedroom home sometimes is what a mother or a father with three or four kids are living in. And sometimes we explain to them that's why our kids is be so sexually active. Because if the kid and the parents them live in a one-bedroom or two-bedroom house and the mom and dad is not together, so the mother is seeing somebody else or the father is seeing somebody else, the kid are accustomed to seeing their mom. They know the situation of their mom and the dad is not together. And then the father could be a person who's sexually active, so he have multiple ladies come to the house. So the kids are always exposed to different people. So when the daddy comes in the house, he brings a woman. I'm not saying, when I say woman, not because you have breasts and et cetera makes you a woman, all right? Because a woman is a person who has pride, who has hospitality, and who is kind and understanding. So the kid is exposed to one female. She comes in, she meets a dad. She might talk to the kids. Might be a good person. You know, the dad breaks up with that one. He has the next one comes in. One who curses, drinks, smokes, and vulgar, and etc. Then, constant people coming in with the kids' life. They're never stable. They're always meeting different people. The father or the mother's moving from different communities, so they're also exposed to different personalities. And these are kids growing up. And then they're seeing these things. Sometimes the kid's supposed to be sleeping in the house. Why is the mother is in the house with one of our friends? And you think the kids are sleeping and grown-ups tend to check for themselves more than they check for the kids because they enter their wife. So they decide to have sex. Why is they having sex in the one-bedroom or two-bedroom house? The kids are looking across the room and seeing the exposure of indecency. And they're hearing the moaning and groaning. Okay? When I said if we could find a way how we can use vacant lots and see how we can build three-bedroom home, separation from the mom and dad, I mean from the mom and dad, and the kids live a separate room for themselves, it'll be great. So we came up with all kind of great ideas, and we talked about the poverty, about the young man, and we came up with a great solution for that. And this was all a collaboration. And it was extensive work. The government spent about $1.2 million, if I'm correct, to the consultant. And I took him around, and I did all this for free. So that's why I'm really disappointed. You know, because I know this program could have been very beneficial to the Bemen people. I'm not saying that the opposition, which is led by Philip Brave Davis, I don't know if they're going to win the next general election. I don't know. I don't know if they are. But either way, if Minutes remains the prime minister, if he's successful in winning the next general election, or Brave Davis is successful in winning the next general election, I would like to say this. It's time for you leaders to stop reviewing and canceling programs that can change the country. I would like to say to the Honorable Brave Davis, if you were successful on becoming the next prime minister of the country, some of these programs do not cancel. Some of these programs don't put political operatives in charge of them. Let community-minded persons who are selfish, who are not looking for gain for themselves, but at the same time, you're going to assist them to make sure that they can have their little sniping. And people who are committed to helping people develop themselves and their community, and you could use persons like the great man, the singing prophet, Lawrence Roll, who is doing a fantastic job down there in the Grove. You get C.B. Moss down there in Dayton, doing fantastic work. You get Ms. Nan down there, further down in Dayton, doing fantastic work. And these two persons, and many more who are doing fantastic work in the industry community, and you're going to have to work with them. You're going to have to fund them. So, because right now, the stress is killing a lot of people. Okay? And I want to encourage Bahamian people out there that despite what is going on right now in this country, try your best to stay with the problem. Try your best to come up with a comprehensive plan that you feel that can work for you. It's going to be tough. I don't want you to believe now. It's going to be tough. It's tough with you. It's rough with you right now. Okay? And keep on trying. And always remember, never do this. Persons who help you and talking positive to you, never, ever get mad at them. Always say yes, sir, and no, sir. Okay? All right. So we were talking with stress, and this is affecting all of us. And let me give you a prime example about stress. We just had two police shooting where we had a gentleman wielding a cutlass, a lady who saw the person disturbed in the streets, said they don't really, now have never seen the person in that kind of state. And she was concerned, so she called the police because she was concerned for the person and our safety and probably those who reside in the community, because the person probably was going through a really, really, really tough time. Because I tell you, you don't know what people are going through today. You know? You don't know what people are going through today. Some people got off cancer and dying. You know? Cancer and dying. And they know it. And they ain't getting no help. You got people who have AIDS and dying. You know? You could have people who just break up with their husband, who they love all their life, only to find out that their husband was cheating on them. And the lady could have been the nicest woman in the world. It was a 50-50 relationship, you know, sharing a paycheck, coming home sometime, clean and cook, etc. Only to come home. She was suspicious, but a very, you know, obedient woman, you know, and come home and see someone on Facebook, hear whispers, and could crush her. You know, she did all the things that you expect a woman or a man to do. So it's two both ends. So when I'm saying about a woman, I'm also saying a good man, and he come home to see his wife doing foolishness for, you know, and the same thing as a good woman, you know, because we always have to be 50-50 on how we talk about the genders. Because we want to have a balance show. And this could set the person, you know, in a different mindset. Forget about work, forget about the children, forget about everything. I had a cousin who break up with her boyfriend, and she drive the car in the ocean, and the three kids died. And when we heard the story, similar to what we're talking about right now. She was a PE teacher, beautiful lady. She had three kids, and she forget about her three kids. She forget about her mom. She forget, no, her mom had passed away. She forget about her brothers. She forget about her sisters, all right? That's how depressed she was. And y'all know the story. A few years back, old Montague, and the person who witnessed it said that she was sitting down there with the light on, pimping on. You could hear pimp, 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 pimp. And then she made up her mind. And then she drive the car. You know, never been a problem. Good woman. Do you think she was in the right state of mind? That's stress. That's stress. And many of us in a scungy now going to stress. So let me get back to the story about the gentleman with the cutlass. And this just is my perspective, okay? And if you want to join in and comment, you can. But I'm talking real life, and that's how I like to talk real life, because this is reality. You know, I'm talking what's affecting us now. So the guy with the cutlass was in the road. Red carrying the cutlass. The lady was concerned. She called the police. The police came. I'm not blaming the police, okay? Called the police. The police came. The police tried to approach the young man to tell him, hey, police, put down the cutlass. The guy, like I said, was not in a state of mind because the police is be armed, right? So if you see the police with a, you get a cutlass. Think about this. You get a cutlass, right? He wants to hurt somebody. I don't know if he hurt somebody as yet, but he wants to hurt somebody. So if anyone says anything to hurt him, or if he sees someone who has done him something wrong, they probably get a cutlass put on them. But otherwise, he is causing a dispute, but he hasn't not hurt no one as yet. So the police approaches him, tell him, put on the cutlass. Someone might be screaming, he names this. And the police could be calling his name. He did not even react to the police's order. So the police yaks out his revolver, I guess, and told him to stop again. He does not. Police probably bark back, and then he probably would have make a charge at the police. And the police let him have it. So he was shot like multiple times. And he's dead. Is the police wrong for shooting him? But if you look at the United States of America or countries that are going through this type of stress that we're going through, okay, they have a contingency plan in their role, in their police force. They know about these particular incidents where they have persons who are mentally ill. And that's a part of stress. So they know sometimes, even though the person is acting violently or acting in an inappropriate behavior, they know they have a negotiation officer or a person who tries to find out what the person wants and try to talk them down. Okay? Police are also trained to try and talk people who are going to commit suicide down. So we have to look at our police force and say to ourselves, you know, I can't say the police is wrong in this instance, but I can say this. I can say that. I listened to the commissioner, and he says our police are trained to shoot in the head. You know, they're not trained to wound. So, in that case, I want to advise any young man or anyone who is mentally unstable, okay, that if you are thinking about cannon disruptly with an edge tool or a firearm in your hand and you're mentally ill or mentally stable or you get mad because something happened in your life and makes you trip, the police pulls up and they give you a warning, one or two warnings, and you do not abide by that warning, then he has no options but to shoot to kill you. On the other hand, I could say that, I don't know, I wasn't there. I'm only giving my assumption because I've seen it happen over and over. I've seen so many things in my life, so I'm going to tell you, I've seen so many things in my life, okay? So I'm just giving my little 2 cents. The police, you know, he could have, knowing that he has a cutlass, it's not a gun, he is a safe distance, he could have fired a shot and either break the person's leg to make sure that they are, you see, disarm, because if you shoot him in his leg, sometimes the bullet breaks the bone. It's better than him being dead. Sometimes the bullet goes straight through, but it takes away your center of gravity. So he would have been on the ground, and that would have given time for his partner, who could have probably had a taser on him. And if the gentleman still has the cutlass in his hand while he's on the ground, then I think it's more likely and a better chance for them now to disarm him. You know, but I wasn't there. Probably could have been where he just rushed out the police, and the police, in fear for his life, shot him. I can't blame the police for that. But like I say, we have a serious mental issue in our country, and some of these things, especially with police shooting or even ourselves, we can do a better job. As I say, we have a problem. So let's put the right programs in place. So we need a hostage negotiator. We need a person who is on the Royal Bahamas Police Force, who's trained in psychology on these matters. Send them to England, send them to the United States of America, wherever the country that is best suited for it, so that we can start to incorporate this in our system. Because when you look at some of these cases, you know, some of these cases can be talked down, because many of these persons are acting on their emotions. You know, they get hurt, they're mad, and for that 1 second they make a stupid mistake, and then that is the end of them. You know, I just want to say that. And then when I look at this case here, and it seems to me this was a mental health case here, in this particular case with the shooting with the release. And then I think this next one was a mental health case too, that could have been avoided. The gentleman who, I think, went somewhere and he got bothered by some people. He tried to return with, a shotgun. And some guys tried to chase him. I think they beat him the first time. And then he went back with a shotgun. And he opened fire. They said he knocked down a lady, whatever. And if you listen to reports, I don't think he intentionally did it. I think he just, once he was running or something, I don't know. But the way how it was explained, I just want to put it together. And guys chased after him, and then he turned around and he fired a shot out the shotgun, which is, by the way, I think he had pellets in it, but you never know because they scary buck. And then he ran into what was claimed an abandoned yard. But when you listen to the interview, it was not an abandoned yard. It was actually his house where he lived. And he ran in the back and he's cornered. The police came, gave chase. Once he told him to drop the weapon, he might have pointed in that direction, and we saw the police on the wall and they were shooting at him. Again, I can't say I could blame the police. But then in this case, this man probably had some serious stress, you know, because, you know, he was of age. I don't know what type of person he was, but from the police report, I've not heard nothing about his background, so that means he probably was a person who had no criminal record. He probably was a person who just going through a lot of stress right now. Because we must remember now, we've been going through stress now for the last 40 years in this country. And so many of our grandparents and mothers and daddies have died, and their children are here now. And we're voting in governments, looking for them to put programs in place for us as citizens. But in turn, they decide to do little and support the party and give contracts to companies who are affiliated with both political parties. you know, and I'm going to talk about it now. So I'm just saying, you know, those cases could have been avoided, you know, if the police ran him in the yard and they had him cornered. Probably they could have waited because I don't think he was no threat to them, because only one shot was fired with this shotgun I heard, and then he was cornered. So in that instance, call your superior, assess the situation, and if the time frame is reasonable, because you know things is happening seconds and half a seconds. But some a scene like this, I think they could have surrounded the yard, wait for a superior, and try to talk down the gentleman who got killed in his own yard. And I think that's something we need to look at. You know? Okay. 7:20. Carmen, do you think we could play the next thing on Plus, if it's all right? I want to, this isn't something else we want to discuss. Just 1 second. And this was short notice, you know, Carmen.
Or is it something completely different, particularly in the accounting of the funds and where the funds are going? Now, we did speak to Canoe, and we told Canoe about the investigation and their public relations officer. Because before we get to that, I want to show you the proof. Let's put up the slide that shows the proof of Dr. Nigel Lewis. Because Canoe is the company name that Canoe trades at is called Carib Pay Bahamas Limited, as you can see right there. And this is listed on the government website. Carib Pay is an actual company that operates Canoe. And if you look down at the bottom slide, you will see Dr. Nigel Lewis listed as one of the directors. So it was verified. And then as I said, you have Dr. Nigel Lewis is the chairman of the PPIL, which recently won the contract to restore monuments in New Providence. And we talked about Nicholas Rees, who's also the co-founder of Canoe. He is also a director of the Public Hospitals Authority.
Program.
Relations Officer Siaska Adderley said in response to our questions to her. Take a listen.
Canoe would like to address the following issues officially. The first being the Bahamas Health Travel Visa. Canoe was contacted by a software and platform provider to provide payment services for the Payment Travel Visa program. 5 days before the platform was to go live to allow for seamless processing of travel visa payments. Canoe condensed 2 weeks of work into a 4-day period to avoid any national embarrassment of the platform not being ready. The Bahamian government is the sole owner of the funds collected from the Bahamas Health Travel Visa Program, which the government uses to settle various expenses. All non-bank payment service providers are required to have a custodian account with a commercial bank licensed by the Central Bank of the Bahamas. Canoe chose to partner with the Bank of the Bahamas to provide the required bank account to process its merchant and e-commerce services. In order to provide this service to the government, merchant processing fees are paid to the commercial bank and to a payment gateway service. Canoe earns a nominal processing fee for this service. This arrangement is no different from existing services provided to the government by other non-bank payment service providers. Secondly, government showing favoritism towards Canoe. Canoe welcomes and embraces the government's procurement processes. The record would reflect that we abide by them. The record would also reflect that other service providers are collecting funding from other government agencies with significant transaction flows. Most recently, we, along with two other service providers, signed agreements to enhance benefit social service distribution for the country. It is important to note that Canoe has also been leading the way in implementing the Sand Dollar technology and is the first payment service provider to be interoperable in that system.
Okay, this is a lot of talk around town. You know, I just want to say this. First of all, I think we don't understand what the Bahamas is. And I want to ask Shawago Lang this because he has the most knowledgeable, he's the most knowledgeable about this. And I'm going to ask him this. I'm going to call on the show one of these days because I've been reading a lot. And I think we still don't understand what the bomber says. He has something I want y'all to really, really listen to what I'm going to say. The Bahamas is a corporation. And the flick just gone is a flick from Eyewitness News with Clint Watson. Okay? The Bahamas is a corporation. So when I said corporation, I read, and I like to read. In my spare time, now all I do is read. I'm looking for knowledge. Okay? Corporation. And this corporation is the government. And this corporation, and we got to leave the Queen Elizabeth out of this, she ain't in this. Okay? This is us. The corporation now was supposed to be one government, and that was the UBP. Since they were defeated in the general election in 1967, okay, there became a next political party, the Progressive Liberal Party. So the corporation now splits half to the UBP, which is now the Free National Movement, and half, which is the government of the country, which is the Progressive Liberal Party. Now, here's the thing. We always criticize the Queen and all, etc. But we have self-governance. Okay? So that means we can do things for ourselves, even though we're still serving the crown. So we have two entities here. We have the Free National Movement. We have the Progressive Liberal Party. Now, this company that has this visa travel, and everyone's saying now, why is the government of the Bahamas charging Bahamian people? And then they said now that the funds collected, certain $1 million, is not in the consolidated funds. Okay? So they're asking where the money has gone. But the government came back and said that all of the funds are being gathered up and given to government. Right? The company was formed for government, and the funds now is in government hands, even though it has not gone to the consolidated fund. What this tells you, this company. See, listen, Bahamian people, this is a corporation. The United States of America can't have a king or queen because they have an agreement with England. They're still a colony. Okay? United States of America still is pay England today. Okay? The Bahamas, okay? Listen to this again. The Bahamas was designed as a colony, and the Bahamas is a colony of England, just like the United States of America. We pay taxes to the Queen too, okay? The government of the Bahamas is a corporation, right? If you look back at history and you read about when there was a famine in the European nations where disease and poverty was breaking out, I can't remember which king or queen issued a proclamation to tell its subjects to leave and go find a better way of life. And when they learned that they could never have a king or queen, they only could have a prime minister or a president to serve a certain amount of time, but never a king or queen, because wherever you go, you can, your country is nationality. So if you go to America, you live from England, you go to America, you still is a British citizen. The same thing with France. So, a colony. All right, people, and I want Shawago Lang, if I'm all right, if the Bahamas is a corporation. So the Queen, at that particular time, sent out its subjects to conquer land, right? And they went and they conquered land. Land in the Bahamas, land in America, land all over places, Africa, and wherever they land. And this was a mixture of Dutch, English, Belgians, etc., all the European nations who took a turn on world domination. And a decree was given out that wherever these people live, that they set up as the head. And they have laborers. So we wonder why in our public schools in our junior high school, we're not teaching kids business because they set us up to be workers, working the hotels to serve, you know, go to school, become a police officer, defense force, because that comes under the crown. Anyone who works for government comes under the queen. You know, just like permanent secretary, they can't get fired from the prime minister. They have to get fired both from the prime minister and the governor general because they're permanent secretaries. They serve the queen. They serve the crown. All of them under the governor's general watch. You call them civil servant. And if people don't really understand our government, and I'm getting to read a lot and I'm getting to understand how this thing works and what we are as a people. Okay, so now it's split between the UP got defeated. So we decided to come up with our political party, all black, and the black and white, the Progressive Liberal Party, and they won a general election. So now we have two entities in the country. They're going to serve the government. They're fighting for the leadership of the government. The executive is the prime minister. The governor general is Pontius Pilate, who serves the Queen of England, just like in the Bible when he talked about Pontius Pilate. And he was not, he was the king, but he was not the emperor. He was serving. He was serving, you know. He was the king of Judea, appointed by the emperor, right? So it's no difference. The governor general is the same thing as Pontius Pilate, right? Governor general, he or she is the queen's legal representative in this country. And you could say head of state. Proclamation, the governor general signed, not the prime minister, okay? Anything deals with curfew, et cetera, has to go through certain avenues to reach the governor general along with the prime minister. But the governor general signs off at it. And this information is sent to England. He's the teens up and getting to understand, okay? So we have these companies and people saying, this company, what they call it? What is this? Kano, right? I think I pronounced it right, Kano. So this is formed by government. And people saying they have not seen the money going to consolidated funds. Listen again, BMN people. The Queen of England, or a new king, incoming king, right? They don't recognize political party. They don't recognize the PLP as a political party. They don't recognize the FNM as a political party. I mean, they do recognize them as parties, but they don't recognize them, like to say, when they become government, that's all England wants. And when you become the government, you becomes the government of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, and then you swear your allegiance to the Queen and her successors. Okay? They only recognize government. They don't recognize PLP or FNM. They recognize Bahamas government. So in these two parties here, that's why it's a corporation, they set up companies with persons affiliated with the party or with the opposition who has a business arrangements. And sometimes they work together and they form a company. Over and over, y'all are seeing through the criminal cases that were before the courts where persons were explaining that they were given contracts and they were told to give incentive back to the persons who were charged before the court, the ministers, you know, the three former PLP ministers. Okay? It's no different. Many of these companies are formed by senators, by members of parliament who have companies. You know, most of these parliamentarians have companies and they could form new companies. And this is how governments get to give out contracts to companies. So what we're seeing here, and they give a prime example, and they're telling you that the government of the Bahamas formed this company. Right? If I'm listening correctly. Right? So, don't be alarmed. The FNM are persons who have companies. The PLP, her persons who have companies. And sometimes they work together to get government contracts. You might say it's illegal or ain't fair, but they are behemoths on both sides, and they have companies. And they know how to milk the treasury. And many persons now are saying that, you know, this government, and like I said, this is what we have our own talks on the streets, and they are saying this government is gone. And because they're gone now, they get teeth of all the money. You know? They say when these people know they're gone, you could see companies form. You could talk about sidewalks, like how they're saying now in the pandemic, how the government spent $20 million and then they take, what, $10 million off the Ministry of Education budget, but they build $20 million on sidewalks. So people are saying when they see these things, like you would invest $20 million on sidewalks that were already built from a previous administration, we need to dig up and do again for sidewalks. Then you cut the budget and you take $10 million off the Ministry of Education budget. That's supposed to be for the fiscal year at the last budget debate for education. So what's more important, sidewalks or education? So many people start to say, you know, this government, you know, they're gone. So they're doing these type of maneuvers, setting up companies. And this is a legal way of getting money or the cookie jar. You know, this is the legal way how you do things to get money or the cookie jar. You know, I need to price something. I need to put it in. And if I overprice it, but I would say a certain price, because we listened to the case what went down with the three MPs. You would see and read between the line on how you milk the treasury legally. It's not illegal. They're doing illegal. Okay? And like I said, both party members have companies. And that's the way how to get the money of the treasury. Okay, let me give you a prime example. I should remember everything. I can remember there was an incident in the House of the Assembly a few years back. I can't remember the MP from Abaco, but he was a white elderly gentleman. And him and Brandrell McCartney, former minister of immigration, Brandrell McCartney, he and the gentleman were going at it in the House of Assembly. And then talks came up with Reginald Minister Wells, the Minister of Health, current Minister of Health. He did an AOL on the deal. Can't remember what exactly. I'm trying to remember what the name was now. On the dump site for a few $100 million. Right? Yes. And Brandon was talking about his contribution, and the member of parliament, I can't remember the guy, I think he was from Lutra, member of parliament, because, you know, I watched these things and I remember the words because I picked between the lines. And he stated, you're talking about the AOL with Mr. Reginald Wells, now Minister of Health. He say, you playing so innocent? Why you don't tell the Bahamian people that is your law firm? Your law firm that is representing him. So that's a company. All right? So this is the opposition. And Randall supports, you know. So, and Mr. McCartney stated that, yes, indeed, but he is just a partner in that law firm or that company. So you see, you know who's getting hoodwinked? You guys are getting hoodwinked because you all don't understand governance. It's a corporation. The majority of all those ministers and senators who are in the House of Parliament, they are business people who have companies. And if I could put my company first, like how they said, no bidding was fought or what it is, the Cano, visa, travel visa, they say no bidding. Why there was no bidding? Because I need to get this company as the one who won the contract. Y'all understand me? Y'all understand me? I hope you're listening. So both parties have these things going on, people. You know, we are the ones who are being fooled. And they're not doing nothing wrong, you know. It's the fact that we who support the political parties, I mean diehard, you're the fool. And the smart set of people, because when I watched the numbers on how many people registered to vote in the last general election, I know we didn't hit 100,000 until a certain time. And then we hit 171,000 persons got registered or more got registered for the last general election. What is the estimated population of the Bahamas? Okay, they say close to 500,000. Now you can imagine, I think it was 174,000 persons who got registered, and then I think the general election was won in between 150,000 votes or something like that. I can't really remember. I ain't got the statistic yet, but I think I close to it. Right? Yeah, I think that's it. Yeah. Let me see. Yeah, 100. Yeah. I think it was a little. Yeah. So you are up with 100 plus or more persons in the country who didn't even think could even be 200,000 persons who was not interested in the PLP or FNM because they know something we don't know. You know what they know? They know that. That for party, lovers, and friends, and that ain't nothing never could change. It slowly, slowly change, and not going to come a person who advocating for change. So those persons, my thumbs up to you who don't pull for political party. See, to me, I feel that I would vote for a political party based on their merit. I ain't voting for the PLP because I said die at PLP. That foolishness and die old me. I been a PLP for over 20-something years. My mom been it all her life. I was ready to follow after her, but I learned sense. Okay? All these die-hard people on the PLP and the FNM, y'all is the one who getting out of work, and y'all is the one who causing us to be in this position we in. We need to be a people who promotes people and give them our vote based on their merit. You know? So if I see the opposition saying some things and doing some things that is very beneficial to the Bahamian people right now, and I feel deep down in my heart, you know, because you could be doing all these things now. See, I ain't falling for all the crap about you cleaning up. You know, some people sincere, and I want to compliment our candidates. You know, I don't want to bash them. Some of them sincere on their efforts for their desired program. But you think they're going to be doing this when they get in power? If they get in power, you think they're going to be advocating on Portiski Dock, this thing and that thing, and by OPI, where they had the lockdown, when the vendors were not denied access? You think they're going to be that same advocate? That's the caller? Okay, so we're going to take this call because I've been running my big mouth too long. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City. Oh, ain't waking it. Oh, so they can't get you. Oh, so what they have to call on? Okay, caller, you said this line is not working, so you can call on 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Okay, I think they're back. Let's see if we can get them. Caller, you on?
Hey, good night, Scoogey.
Good night, good night, good night. Before you call up for the night, go ahead.
Yeah, my Scoogey. Scoogey.
Yes, sir.
What's going on is, you know that we have a divide because, like you said, the political situation in the country, right?
Yes, sir.
But, you know, the Bahamas, in my view, right? The Bahamas, in my view, I can see one change coming, you know, Scoogey. You know why? See, because the young people, they ain't grow up loyal.
Mm.
They ain't grow up, you know, organized. They grow up, you know, Christmassy. They grow up, you know, expecting gifts for nothing. You know that type of way?
Yes, sir. I understand.
Right. So when you grow up a nation, people will expect and gifts for nothing. Right? They can be easily, you know, carried away because why? Whoever have the best gift or the most gifts is who, you know, the loyalty can be put to.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't really, you know, and that's why we see we can't find loyalty in our government because,
mm-hmm.
you know, the system.
Yes.
It doesn't matter how good the person values may be before they get elected. You know, it's just a system. Once they reach in the system, they have to comply to the system. They can't change it if they try go against it. We see what happened, and we've been watching the political scene over the years. You see what happened mm-hmm. to politicians when they try to go against that system.
Andre Rollins is an example,
right? And then you have
Michael Pike,
Randwood Wells,
yeah.
Michael Pike, you get with the
Juan Miller
from Centerville.
Reese Chipman,
Warren Miller, the Speaker of the House.
Hajit Vutri.
Right?
Yes, sir.
But these things, what we see happen,
uh-huh.
people would try to go against the system.
Uh-huh.
So it really doesn't matter who we put there,
mm-hmm.
right? Because the system going to remain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just like, for people who are listening, right? That, let me just break it down even a little. That's
go
just
ahead,
like
go ahead, bud. You're making me laugh, bud.
That's just like if you have a bus company, right?
Yeah.
And you get a Route 16,
uh-huh.
right? It ain't matter who you put inside the bus to drive. They got to drive on Route 16.
Follow the status quo, you have to drive the road.
You got to drive on Route 16.
It's a Route 16.
It doesn't matter how good the driver is or how bad the driver is. He got to drive on Route 16, and that's the same thing as our politics today.
That's a good example.
It doesn't care how good the person is or how bad the person is. The system is the system.
Mm-hmm.
And until they change the system, right?
Yes, sir.
So that people really get benefit. And that's what nobody want to do because at the end of the day, they benefit,
mm-hmm.
right? So, you know, if you corrupt or use a person with only self-centered, you ain't going to really, and you think the people just comfortable with just being you, you know, and they don't really need to have nothing else than just you, you know, because it's all about you. And we can continue down this road, but I don't see that happening because I see the young people, the people today, the behemoths today, they different behemoths. You know, they ain't the same behemoths.
I agree.
Right, so they don't have the time for the politicians, all the pastors, because collaborate together. In my view, the cause what we see happening in this country today, they happen because you don't never see no divide between them two groups. For the people, they always be together against the people.
Let me ask you a question. How could you come to that assumption what you just said?
But you mean with the
pastors and the government? How you know they're together? What makes you think? What makes you come to that solution?
Okay, well, that's easy. Well, you was a media guy.
Yes, sir.
When was the last time you hear pastors crying out against anything with government? I mean, one or two, right, in the wilderness, you may hear, but they talking.
Yes,
but
you make,
When was the last time you hear any pastors crying out against anything nationally? The government tried to implement or put on the Bahamian people, right? Or crying against poverty or trying to see if they could preach and pray that the Bahamian people get more money in their pockets so that they could even bring more money to them. Was the last time?
My brother, you preach, because you knocked the nail right on the head. So you were able to see these things, so that means you're of the discerning spirit, right? That means you come to this with your judgment based on you, what you see on the news and TV and how they respond to certain aspect of things that they need to be more concerned about. What you're saying, what they need to be more concerned about is the poor and the needy and speaking out for
that's the whole purpose.
Yes. And that's what Christ did. What did
you? You wasn't put there to try to side with the government.
No.
With same-sex marriage and marijuana and all the rest of other stuff that they side with the government with. But you never hear them saying, look here, government, hey, you don't think y'all have too much pressure on the people? You don't think this y'all need to consider this, you know, or consider that so that the people could breathe a little bit more? We don't hear that.
You know, something interesting, what you said just now, how they don't ask these things. But if you follow Christ, what a guy named Ananias, who was the Roman tax collector, and Christ heard about him. And he went and he looked for him, right? And he found him and he told him about these things, about the taxes and stuff like that. So you need to ease the burden on the people. And this was a man who was wicked. But when he saw Christ and Christ told him that, he started to give back to the people their money. So you made a very valid point, my brother. You fight for what needs to fight for the people. That's what Christ did with Ananias in the tree. Remember?
Yeah. I think that's what it's supposed to be all about, with it, you know. But you know, that's a whole next talk show,
I only mentioned that part because when you said that, see, I think anytime you say something to me, I could reflect back what happened a long time ago and bring that same example. You know,
but you read school, you know, but that's all about, you know, but at the end of the day, right?
Yes, sir.
If you love the nation, right, whether you are a politician, because that's where we started with, right? You a politician or
a pastor.
A pastor.
Anyone who wants power in the country or respect.
Both of your respect is due to the development and building of the nation and the people,
yes, sir,
in a positive
environment
way, yes, right? That's what both of them supposed to do.
Yes.
But now the both of them ain't supposed to you know, always be together.
Yes. They have to disagree sometimes.
When it's time to stand up for the people, one of them got to stand up for the people, or the two of them have to stand up for the people.
Yes. You did a wonderful job, man. I want to say thanks to you. And
guess
what?
You have a nice evening.
Yeah, man, you did a wonderful job. And guess what? They were supposed to stand up to what?
like the gentleman said, standard or something like that. When VAT was being introduced with the Christian administration, they were supposed to get together as a whole church body and say, hey, you can't put the pressure back on the behemoth people, man. You know, this is wrong. Christ did it with Ananias. See, people say they passed in religion and all that. Listen, anyone know God? The way I know God, I mean, yes, there are many people know God, but I mean, I really know God. I really know Christ because I came under that and I could see things. All right? And Christ did it. And the gentleman just said it. If the pastors would, you know, speak more for the poor people instead of being quiet and they speak on things where they need to speak on. Call us, Rev. We have one more caller. We're going to take this last call. Yes, good night. We only have about four minutes ago. Go ahead, please, real quick.
Yeah, all right, your last caller was spot on as far as the merging of church and state, so that is pretty scary for me.
Yes.
I saw it with the enticement of the vaccine agenda down in Golden Gate the other day, right?
Wow.
Yeah, but I mean, it's scary any which way. So but I just wanted to dwell on the philosophy of education, right?
Yes, sir.
And so you have people like William Torrey Harris, right?
Yes, sir.
You have writings from like the 1900s and the philosophy of education. You just need to go and read up on what he thought about how they manipulate education and to not create free thinking. And you understand? But the thing is, I wanted to comment on the political. He's talking about the politics and corruption in the book, The Great Reset. They specifically talk about how corruption. They expect an uptick in corruption, especially in third world countries.
I see it too. I read it today.
Yeah, and so remember now, there's two roads to wealth. There's pure market entrepreneurship, and then there's political entrepreneurship, and that's what we have here.
And political entrepreneurship.
We're not serious, Kuji.
No, you're not serious.
That's why, I look at, I took some pictures. I don't know if you just look at just east of downtown.
Mm-hmm.
Just east of Elizabeth Avenue. You know, I was walking on it, my daughter the other day, and I look up and I see a wooden plank, look like it's about to fall. You know, I'm just saying, it's better than Jack and Jill was across the road, and just... even past the police station, all that
that's the thing, the building, right? The thing.
I was wondering why the government would allow the owners of this property, or why they would allow it to reach that state. And I just look at all this is indicative of the way we run this country.
Yes. But
I just get weary of trying to talk and even talk in so much different lights. But I was saying, if you really deal with the writings of William Torrey, he's a philosopher of education. He'll show you the manipulation of the education system, why they don't want free thinkers.
Yes.
This is all about. It's all about manipulating the masses.
Yes.
Agendas cannot be achieved on a global plantation without brainwashing the masses.
Yes.
So I'd like to use another word. Start with it. Have a good day.
Thank you very much. When you say brainwashing the masses, that's for political operatives who are brainwashed, you know, who stick to PLP and FNM even when their political party is doing wrong and is making no sense and hurting the PM and people. We're going to take this last call. That's it? Okay. Well, that's the language not working. So if you want to make this last call, you have 2 minutes. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. If you can get in real quick, this will be our last call. And you could have about 2 minutes. They left? Well, I just want to say, when he talked about the education matter just now, remember, Bahamian people, the Bahamas is a colony, okay? Remember that. All right? On both sides, on political sides, PLP and FNM, they have companies, and that's how they do business, okay? So stop getting mad and get a rate, and you're supposed to notice, all right? Kermit, that's us for today. Okay, sorry we can't take no more calls. The producer said we're completely out of time. I want to give a word of thanks to a few persons who have contributed greatly to the efforts of developing Grandstand in the Bahamas at large. I would like to say a very special thanks to Bahamas Vase, my good friend Franny, who has been assisting me for over 7-8 years with garbage bins to help clean up the Grandstand community that I reside in, Lewis Street, Hay Street, and Taylor Street. The Bahamas Waste has been there for me. I got in connection with Bahamas Waste when I spoke at the Rotary Club of East Nassau. And ever since, they have been supporting me free of charge. I would also like to give my word of thanks to Rotary Club of East Nassau and Mr. Keith Sands, who have been helping me with sponsorship for the basketball program for the last 5 years at Rotary International. Especially East Nassau have been supporting me in the Grandstand community. I also want to say thanks to Nora and Neil, Nora and Neville Dorset. Their son is Porky, Mr. Ed Dorset, and et cetera, and many more of their family members for contributing to the development of the community, especially donating their property to build a community center for the kids in the Grandstand community. So I want to give a special thanks to the Dorset family, Lennon Bahamas, the president, Lucas Metropolis, who came to assist me in the Grandstand area. And now we have a beautiful organization called Lennon Bahamas. I'm one of the founders. Miss Sheila Pritchett, Mitzi Burrows, Lucas Metropolis, Alexander Miles, all of them have contributed and are founders of the Lennon Bahamas. Salem Union Baptist Church, Pastor Hugh DeRoll for his continued effort in helping to develop the Grandstand community. Pastor Ferguson, Big Howard's community, who has been doing a tremendous job in the community for the last 25 years. Yuli Wogus and Amanda Culson, who have been there for me from day one. And then these two I'm going to call their name, who have been assisting me for many years, and they assisted me as I speak now, Brent and Robin Simonet. Brent and Robin Simonet, who has been assisting me with Man Dawes to develop the Grandstand community. Yes, all of these people have been working together with me, and they're working with me even stronger. And they are pushing because they see I have a vision. And they are giving me insight. And they're giving me a belief that when I'm to my lowest, when I had stress, many of them came to my aid. And these are my close personal friends, all of them, who have contributed to helping hundreds and thousands of behemoths in this country. And all of them wanted to remain anonymous. From time to time, I like to give them a shout out. And I like to say thanks to my producer, Kermit, for doing such a wonderful job here tonight on Guardian Radio. And I want to say thank you all who listen to Inside the Inner City. I'm Valentino Brown, a.k.a. Scrooge, Scrooge, your Scrooge. They call me Governor or MP. I hope you enjoy the show. I hope you understand that the Bahamas is a corporation, that both political parties, members of their own companies, and from time to time, they milk the cookie jar. And like I said, many people are saying this government is going now, so they're doing everything to get the cookie jar. I don't know if they're going to lose the election, but people are saying, when you see these kind of things, they're saying they're trying to melt the cookie jar because they know they're gone. But I don't know. There seems to be still in the game, so we'll see. So I hope you enjoy your Friday. And please, do this for me. Stay away from arguments, okay? Walk away. If you have a problem with your girlfriend or boyfriend, walk away, okay? Try your best. If you go to a nightclub and you get in an argument with somebody, listen, walk away, okay? Just walk away. Do your best. If they want to call it a sissy or your light or whatever, et cetera, avoid confrontation, all right? Save your life, all right? Go home to your daughter, to your son, all right? You're too violent. A lot of people stress with this country, okay? Yes. A lot of people have mental health in this country. So you got to be very careful. So if you out there and you're arguing with somebody, driving a car, and they bump you when you get out there, you don't know what the person is going through. And then something bad is going to happen. So avoid these things, okay? Avoid argument. Avoid confrontation, okay? And avoid arguments. I'll see you next week on Guiding Radio. Yes, Kermit, thank you very much. This old neighborhood. Now that you go, you know the sun don't shine. From the city hall to the county line. And that's why I said ain't no love in the heart of the city. This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.